It's the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey pinch hitting for the guys here on a Monday. Thanks so much for finding us. Hope you had a happy 4th of July weekend. I know I did. It was awesome around here. Great time. Austin Bechtold producing. He did as well. Let's go out to the fan hotline. Continuing the Steelers talk as we find Brooke Pryor in North Carolina, I believe, back home a little bit. Brooke, how are you?
I am great. And if you hear heavy breathing, it's because my doodle, Hootie, is very needy and decided to sit right down in front of me and breathe in my face because it's his world and we're just living in it and we just serve to pet him at all times.
Yes. What kind of doodle?
He is a golden doodle.
All
and
right.
a lot of chaos. He is a chaos doodle.
How
really
old?
He is, oh gosh, he's six. And yesterday he ate a pack of tortillas off the counter. So doing all the doodle things.
We have a Labradoodle as well, a young lady named Macy, and she is a bundle of energy and awesome. But they're, oh my God, they're incredible dogs. I love them so much. They're great.
They're the best, except when, you know, they decide to eat your groceries that have been sitting there for, you know, a week and just out of the blue decides that that's the day that they would like to explore the counter, do a little counter surfing. You know, it's very,
to be fair, Brooke, it's your fault for putting it there. It's your fault for putting it where Hootie could get it. Just saying.
Well, every time I think I've put it somewhere that they can't get it, that he can't get it, he finds a way. He's very determined.
All right, let's talk a little bit about actual stuff. Over the weekend, one of your coworkers, Jeremy Fowler, was talking about TJ Watt, some updates there. You know, saying that he does expect something to get done. Maybe it takes a little bit longer. The sticking point is guaranteed money, all that stuff. Does that kind of track along with what you've heard, and do you still expect something to get done with TJ as well?
Yeah, that's the same thing that I've been hearing, and I'm with him on the timeline and where this ends up. I mean, it feels like it's the same song and dance with the Steelers and specifically with TJ Watt in each of the last two times that we've gone through this, that guaranteed money is the biggest thing that Watt's looking for, which makes sense, and especially in the direction that NFL contracts are going. Obviously, the full guaranteed money is not a thing that's been done since Deshaun Watson, and it's nothing it's nothing like, yeah, you know, trying to get full guaranteed money like a Deshaun Watson contract or something. But yeah, this is the way that these negotiations are going, that TJ Watt wants more guaranteed money than the Steelers are currently trying to offer him. And this is a negotiation that will get done when it gets done. I still think it does happen, but you know, it's going to drag on probably into training camp the way that it has the last time.
Do you think it mirrors the last time, Brooke, when it comes to a hold in? Like, will we see TJ Watt in Latrobe working off to the side? Will he stay home? How do you think this affects his presence with the Steelers, if at all?
You know, I think that I'm not sure about, because to me, it was a pretty significant sign that he didn't go to minicamp. That to me says that was more significant than anything he did the last time they went through these negotiations. But that was also a different time, coming off of COVID. I would not be surprised either way. I think if he does attend things, if he does show up in Latrobe, I wouldn't expect to see him out there during team periods. I would think it would be more of a hold in. I don't think that he would practice without a contract, but I think it also kind of depends on how negotiations are going. If they're still as contentious as they appear to be at minicamp, it wouldn't shock me if he's not there on day one.
Now, we talked about guaranteed money, Brooke. What about yearly? Because I think that's, I'll admit I'm guilty of that. I look at the $40 million and think like that's the number they have to beat. And you're telling me, and other sensible people are telling me, it's more guaranteed money. I certainly understand that. But when you look at the yearly number, is there somewhere where, like, a range that you expect that to maybe fall?
You know, I don't have an expected range. I think that, you know, he would obviously like to be paid more than Myles Garrett, like you mentioned. And I think that in a lot of ways, it's a point of pride. You want to say that you are the highest paid player at your position. And certainly TJ Watt's accolades and the way that he has willed this team to winning seasons when they probably wouldn't have gotten there otherwise certainly commands a big payday. But I think at the end of the day, to me, guaranteed money would seem to be more important than the average yearly value, because that's, you know, the real money that you're making, versus, you know, a number that can be kind of massaged and moved around as, you know, cap hits change and the salary cap increases, things like that over the years. So I think that guaranteed money is the most important thing rather than the average annual value.
Pompa Joe Show, Jason Mackey filling in for the guys. We're chatting with Brooke Pryor from ESPN. Of course, read her stuff at ESPN.com, and you can follow her on Twitter or X at B.E. Pryor. Transitioning away from the T.J. Watt stuff a little bit, Brooke, I haven't had a chance to catch up with you since the Steelers made the biggest trade that I can remember them making in a fairly long time, Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith in, Minkah Fitzpatrick out. Did that catch you by surprise? And what do you think that says about how they see themselves?
Yeah, it definitely caught me by surprise. I was teeing off on number 11 at a golf course down at the beach. And suddenly just got frowny faces for the next couple of holes because I did not play and I let my husband keep playing. He drove the golf cart as I, you know, tried to work the phones and get a story up. To me, I was surprised, especially because Minkah Fitzpatrick has been such a cornerstone of the defense, does, you know, everything that the Steelers want out of him. He's the kind of guy that Mike Tomlin really loves. We obviously know that based on the fact they went out and traded a first-round pick for him in 2019. But to me, I was talking with a defensive coordinator who's not on the Steelers staff, and I said, you know, I am just a little bit confused by this. Like, do you think that it means that they want to move Jalen Ramsey to safety? And he told me not necessarily. He said you can never have too many good corners. I think that, you know, we're forgetting about Juan Thornhill in all of this. I also think that we're going to see a lot of Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Elliott and Joey Porter Jr. and Darius Slay, all of them out on the field at the same time. I think we're going to see a lot of sub packages. I think that, you know, for as much flexibility as Minkah Fitzpatrick has, I think that Jalen Ramsey has the potential to have more just because he can be a corner, a nickel, maybe even a safety in some packages. To me, you know, it is an interesting move. I think that they just see the production that Jalen Ramsey has had versus, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick didn't do that the last couple of seasons. And it's kind of a what have you done for me lately and how can we adapt this scheme to highlight a guy like Jalen Ramsey? I think that, you know, they're trying to shake things up. They are trying to, I said all in when the trade first happened. And I don't necessarily mean that they are all in to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, that's the goal every year. To me, it's more about trying to get over this playoff hump, to try to win a playoff game. And I know that for an organization that wants to get back to winning Super Bowl trophies and adding to that trophy case, winning a playoff game feels like it's, you know, shooting pretty low. But when you consider how long it's been since there's been a playoff win, you need to get over that hump to have a realistic shot at winning a Super Bowl. At this point, it feels like it's as much a mental block as it is a physical obstacle. So that's what I'm seeing out of these moves. We'll see if it pays off. It is certainly a gamble, but I like it. It shakes things up. It gives us more things to talk about than, you know, a contract negotiation.
Brooke, as somebody is in my second Steelers offseason as a columnist, I could not be more grateful for the amount of stories that they generate, columns that they give us. My goodness. Maybe as a beat writer, you don't feel the same way, but boy, do I enjoy it. It's like manna from heaven every other week. Jonnu Smith specifically, how do you see him fitting into the offense? Because, I mean, they're obviously going to utilize him, right? Like, they're paying him. They're going to put him in situations to succeed. You're not going to ignore Pat Freiermuth. Darnell Washington has come along, you know, very nice blocker, all these things. Balancing these targets, these reps, these snaps, all that stuff. How do you see that working out?
Well, I think that Arthur Smith is in heaven right now. This is the Arthur Smith move. I think that he's going to be a Swiss Army knife type of weapon. I don't want to necessarily say tight end three behind, you know, Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington, because he is being paid to be more than a tight end three. But I think he can do a little bit of everything. In some ways, do the things that we've said that Connor Hayward could do in terms of being a fullback, maybe being a receiver, being an undersized tight end. I think that that is Jonnu Smith times 1,000.
Yeah.
I think that he has a much, much higher ceiling than Connor Hayward. And, you know, I think that that to me would I'd be a little bit nervous if I were in Connor Hayward's shoes right now, because there's, you know, only so many roster spots. That's someone that I'm going to be watching during camp. But I do think that Jonnu Smith adds a lot with his versatility. I still think that this is a team that needs a wide receiver too on the roster. Maybe that's Gabe Davis. I know that the coaching staff has said that Calvin Austin is that guy, but I still think they need one more receiver. Jonnu Smith is not a one for one there. Oh, you know, we landed this guy, therefore we don't need this other position. I don't think that he fills that need. I think that he was kind of an offensive luxury add, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't need to do it or that it was a bad move. Sometimes these luxury moves are what takes a team from just making the playoffs to going deeper.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, Brooke, and you started down the road of the question I was going to ask you. What's the higher priority? Like, I can look at their team and think they should add at safety, maybe just a little bit of an insurance behind Juan Thornhill. I can look at their team and say they should add a wide receiver, a true wide receiver too. Maybe that's Gabe Davis. If you had to rank them in order of priority for this team, what would they be?
Oh, that is tough, because it really does feel like a 1A, 1B
it does.
Situation.
My answer would be both, but I don't know if you had a passionate feeling like one is a really glaring need over the other.
I can talk my way into either one. I think I'm edging toward safety, because that position group as a whole, just looking at the defensive backs, they are an older group. Juan Thornhill has had injury issues in the past. They have had injuries with their secondary in as many of the most recent seasons that I can remember, whether that's corners getting hurt, safeties getting hurt, and having to get creative. So I think it makes more sense for them, if they had to prioritize one over the other, adding another safety, even if, you know, they're not necessarily using Juan Thornhill a ton in base or using that a true free safety position like that. I still think that that's something that you want later in the season. And I think that based on how they want to run this offense, that wide receiver two isn't as important as adding another safety, but it is really close in my mind.
Last question for Brooke Pryor from ESPN. Again, you can follow Brooke on Twitter or X at BE Pryor. Brooke, we were talking before about Aaron Rodgers and what are some reasonable expectations. I would like to see the Steelers allow Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers, audible at the line of scrimmage, do his thing. I'm not saying, you know, uncork it 60 times a game or something like that. But when you look at how the Steelers can best configure their offense to take advantage of Aaron Rodgers, what does that look like for you?
I think it's got to be a compromise, right? Like, let Aaron Rodgers be Aaron Rodgers. Don't keep the training wheels on him. Allow him to audible, things like that. But there's also got to be a buy-in from Rodgers to allow this team to have a strong run game. Because when he was in Green Bay and when he was with the Jets, they did not have great run games, or at least dominant run games. That's not how an Arthur Smith offense works. That's not how the Steelers work. I think that you've got to kind of check your ego a little bit. Like you said, don't uncork it 60 times a game. I think that if Aaron Rodgers buys into having a balanced offense, to me, that's a best case scenario. Give him the freedom to make the calls at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't need to go full cowboy gunslinger, draw up plays in the dirt like Ben in his last couple seasons. But I think that, you know, you've got to build trust on both ends there. And I think if he can do that, this is going to be a good offense. But, you know, use your run game, use your tight ends, use the middle of the field, which I feel like I said a million times last season got way underutilized. They can do those things. I think that this is an offense that scores more points than last year, which has been a priority in building the offense and in adding some different pieces, because as we know, it's been a big offensive drought the last two seasons in Pittsburgh.
Brooke Pryor, thanks so much, Brooke. Have a great rest of your day. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. This is Brooke Pryor from ESPN. Does an awesome job covering the Steelers. Read her work, of course, at ESPN.com. Follow her on Twitter or X at BE Pryor. A lot to go through in Brooke's comments. I'll do that in just a second. I first want to remind you, Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text lines brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The biggest thing that piqued my interest there, and there was a lot, it's always great stuff with Brooke, she's a fantastic guest, but was the utilization of Jalen Ramsey. And Brooks said, they don't be surprised if you see a lot of three cornerback sets, sub packages. I like that a lot. Now, that does increase the importance for me on safety, and I'd probably like to see them go get somebody else. I don't have anything against Juan Thornhill, but he has had a bit of a problem staying healthy. And if you go beyond Juan Thornhill, I'm not sure who the Steelers have that they can put back there that I'd feel great about. But if you're telling me you're going to play Jalen Ramsey in the slot a lot, great. He's done that before. I think he can be a weapon. Gives you some versatility, match up different ways. You're in a division with the Bengals and they're two big dogs out wide. You have means to cover them. And I like the trade because the Steelers took a position that I think was either lacking some depth or lacking a lot of depth, depending on how much you want to analyze it, and they made it stronger. And yeah, some is going to fall on Terrell Austin to properly utilize Jalen Ramsey. I don't think they were getting enough production out of Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's probably an obvious statement. But now they have some stuff to play with. They have a different way of doing things. Three cornerbacks, cool. But they need to make good use of it. They need to do the same thing with Jonnu Smith. The third tight end stuff, I mean, he's the third tight end because he's, I don't know, the newest tight end, but he's not going to be treated like a number three tight end. No way, shape, or form. I just don't see how that makes sense.